to introduce our speaker, I was thinking about what to say. You know, I thought about 7 years ago when I gave my life to Christ, and I was coming out of 20-year addiction and just a dark place in my life, and I had no friends left because all my friends were in that life, and I was deciding to follow Jesus, and I had to give up all those friends. And I prayed to God. I said, God, I need some friends in my life. Some friends that are think like I'm trying to think, that are like-minded, that are trying to follow Jesus. And God put Mayer and Don Clemens in my life. Two friends that immediately started coming alongside of me right out of the gate. Started mentoring me and helping me to understand what it meant to be a man following Jesus. And so today, all I'm going to say is that our speaker is my friend, Rod Mayer.
So I got to have a little fun with Ben here this morning. My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I like to eat it every day, and if you ask me while, I'll say, because Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A. My name's not Mayer, my name is Mayer. That would be the point. Good morning, men. It is a privilege to be here. This is our 21st year. Yeah, Terry, exactly. Wow. Our 21st year of gathering together with a group of men who are committed to say we're men following Christ. It's interesting, too, that we head into a new Jewish year. And a little bit later on today, I hope that the Lord will remind me to comment upon the new Jewish year, 5780, the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So this morning, the most important thing that I need to do before I speak is to pray. So join me if you would. Well, Father, you've already overwhelmed me this morning with amazement as I've had the privilege to co-labor with men here in this room, setting up early this morning, sitting at a table and hearing men express the joy in their lives of what you're doing, to hear men pray together this morning, to hear the prayers that were graciously prayed over me, Father, to think of how you've already been at work as our brother Nick used the gifts that you've given him this morning. The songs that he selected were from you. And I'm so thankful that your presence is here this morning. We have felt it, and I'm asking that you would do a great work amongst us this morning. Now, Lord, I am confident in this. Your word says that when your word goes forth, it will accomplish the set purpose for which you've sent it. So as we now prepare, Lord, would you prepare our hearts to receive from you what it is that you want to say to us this morning? And would all of you men join me in by simply saying, may it be so, Lord, come and do a great work amongst us. And all God's men say, amen. Amen. You know, over the years, Don and I have continued to experience our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in ways in which years ago we would have questioned whether it was real. And this morning, His Holy Spirit was very clearly impressing upon me, there are malnourished men in this room this morning. I'm going to say that again. There are malnourished men in this room this morning. Could you imagine being in a battle and being so weak that you're unable to fight that battle? How easy do you think it would be for the enemy to destroy you when you're weak and when you're malnourished? Now, I believe that was from the Lord this morning. I believe there are malnourished men in this room this morning. The title of this message, if one was to give it a title, Men of Faith. Men of Faith. Now, we're told from God's word there is an enemy. And that enemy seeks to steal and kill and destroy. I'll propose to you this morning that there are malnourished men in this room, and the enemy is having a heyday with you because you are malnourished. I'm going to say it again. I believe by faith this morning there are men in this room that are malnourished, and the enemy is having a heyday with you. You see, he comes to seek and steal and destroy. And what I believe is happening today, not just here, but in Kosciuszko County, the surrounding counties, the surrounding states, the nation of the United States of America, men are weak. Men are malnourished. And the enemy is seeking to steal and kill and destroy your faith. And I hope and I pray this morning, and I say it often, if the Lord can speak through a donkey, I pray he can speak through me this morning. God's word says, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, there are times when I struggle because I do not want to take something out of its text and speak of it improperly. As Paul was writing to the church in Rome, he was talking about faith as it relates to coming to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. So this faith that comes through the message of Christ, yes, is it about our salvation? Of course. But I would propose to you this morning, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. I want to be known as a man who's following Christ, but I want to be known as a man that is full of faith. I want to be known as a man who's full of faith, who says, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. So keep that in your hearts and minds this morning, that consequently, faith comes by hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. Warning, malnourished men in this room. Open up the living and enduring Word of God. If you have it in print, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5. For those of you who are using digital devices, you're probably a lot quicker than those that are having the opportunity to turn the living and enduring Word of God to Book of Hebrews chapter 5. We have much to say about this. I'm in verse 11. But it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves, distinguishing good for evil. Malnourished men in this room this morning. Wonder how many of you, pretty direct statement, are still suckling on a bottle of milk when you should be feeding upon the substance and the power and the strength found in the living and enduring Word of God. Book of Hebrews has a chapter that often is referred to as the Hall of Faith. Chapter 11, let's go there. I feel compelled to keep saying these words. There are malnourished men in this room this morning. What can we observe? What can we see from this chapter that's filled full of examples of faith? Starts out with verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. In verse 3, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at what? God's command. How many of you today, by faith, believe God said, let there be light? Amen. And there was light. Amen. As we, with simple childlike faith, go to the book of Genesis and read about and listen to him say, I spoke. I spoke creation into existence. This morning, God spoke through Ben. He reminded us again, through Jesus, it says he created all things. He sustains all things. He holds all things together. Yeshua holds all things together. He, Christ, created all things, spoke all things into existence. We believe that by faith. How many of you want to please God? I sure do. And yet, what does he say in this great chapter of faith? Without faith, it is impossible. Now, I'm rejoicing because as I'm watching the different faces that are here this morning, many of you immediately responded. Guess what? You're not malnourished men. There's men in this room here this morning that know exactly what this scripture is. They know without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith must be something very important to our Heavenly Father. It must be critical to our Heavenly Father. Because without faith, it's impossible to please our Abba Father. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children. Now listen to this. Why? Because she considered him, next word, faithful, who had made the promise. Sarah believed what God said. Sarah had faith in spite of the circumstances she was facing from a fleshly perspective. She said, no, God said. By faith. Let's look at 17 and 18. Every time I consider this, I consider the imagery of what Abraham was ready to do to Isaac and compare it to what Abba Father did to his son. You see, that passage says, by faith, Abraham, when God, next word in the NIV, what does it say? Or any, God did what? Tested. Not only are there malnourished men in this room today, there are men who are failing to pass the tests that God puts you through. I don't know what they are, but I guarantee you, he does not tempt us, but I hope later on you'll see, he certainly does test us. Abraham was tested. You know what God told Abraham to do. Take your son, your one and only son Isaac, take him up on top of the mountain and sacrifice him. I love what we can learn from this message, from his word. He says, he who had embraced the what? The promise, was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Abraham went through that process. This is not part of the notes, but can I challenge how many men in this room today are fathers? Look at this. You know what I think is a great Father's Day message? The message of Abraham and Isaac. You know why? Because Isaac was obedient. Terry's son's grown up, and he's one of his sons big and tall, and my son Jack all of a sudden got really big and really tall and really strong. I think Isaac was probably a lot stronger than his dad. And yet in obedience, he said, Dad, it's okay. Go ahead and bind me up and put me on the altar. Because he asked going up, Dad, we got the wood. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, don't worry, son. God will provide the sacrifice. And Isaac could have fought back. But in obedience, and here's what I think as a Father's Day message, good job, Abraham. Good job. Taught your sons we're going to be obedient to God. And on that very day, Abraham was ready to take that knife and plunge that knife into the chest of his own son. But isn't it awesome what God does? He provided the sacrifice. He provided a ram that just happened to be caught in the thicket at the very moment the knife was going to be plunged into the chest of Isaac. Come on, guys, are you with me this morning? It just happened? Man, that's our God. That's how Yeshua works. At the very second we think something's going to happen, he intervenes and says, no. I got you. You're my son. Great example of a father, by faith, doing what seemed to be the impossible thing to ask him to do. And guys, again, isn't that what our Father did for us? But he finished the sacrifice. He said, no, my son is going to die for you and for you. And for anyone in here this morning that's pleaded with Christ to be the only one who can forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, God the Father said, I have to sacrifice my son. The Lamb of God, slain before the foundations of the world. The perfect sacrifice. Abraham by faith. Well, I got some good news and bad news for you. Want the good news first or bad news first? I like that, brother. He said bad news because you can always end on a good note. Listen to this. End of the chapter on faith. We begin in verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through what? Faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was, next word? Promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, became powerful in battle, routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Sometimes we don't always understand God's ways. In fact, he's such a loving God. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And then he says, I am God, and I will do what I please. He is a loving, merciful, compassionate Father who loves us. Now, I find this interesting. I had the privilege to be down at Pastor Gary's church last week. We went to a lot of the same text that we're going to be at this morning. And I love Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3. But his spirit woke me up when I was sitting down at Burkitt thinking, isn't that amazing that this comes right after we read about faith? And he had just shown me that, Brother Terry. And Terry and I have talked about this before where, by God's grace, guys, guess how old I am? Somebody take a guess.
64.
27. Because 27 years ago, Jesus saved me. I'm not 61. I'm 27. Amen. I'm going to keep telling myself that. But the point of that is 27 years of following Christ and by His grace having a hunger for His Word, the Holy Spirit went, now do you understand why I tell you to run the race? And it says what? Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who do you think that great cloud of witnesses is? All those people and everyone else who's put their faith in Christ that is in His presence right now. And there was a brother here this morning, I won't mention his name, but It's hard for him to be here today because he always came with his dad. And his dad's with Jesus. But we talked about it this morning. He's watching us. I believe that with childlike faith. I believe right now that brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and moms and dads and grandpas, relatives of yours, friends of yours, co-workers with yours that have passed on to be with Christ, his word says, precious in my eyes is the death of one of my saints. They're the great cloud of witnesses. And I'll tell you, there's men of faith right now that are in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they're looking down on us and say, come on, guys, be men who are truly following Christ. I believe right now there's a great cloud of witnesses watching what we're doing this morning as we come together known as men following Christ. And yet Papa this morning, through the power of his son's Holy Spirit, said, son, there are men in this room that are malnourished. And if you're malnourished, I guarantee you the enemy is going to have a continued heyday with you. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run the race. Get this, marked out. Marked out for you to run. You know what I believe by faith? The race for your life has already been ordained. You're running the race. If we believe what God's word says, we're running the race, marked out for us to run. If you believe his word in Psalm 139, he tells you, George, I've ordained every day for you before one of them comes to be. Nick, Larry, every one of you today that are, that was exciting, who are children of God, believe by faith. You're here today by a divine ordained appointment. Can somebody please say amen? And if you truly believe that, I've never ran a marathon, and I don't think I ever will. But I guarantee you this, amen. Life is a marathon. Life is not a sprint. Amen. And why we're running this marathon of life, what does Jesus tell us? First of all, it's marked out for us to run. And then he tells us to do what? Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Now, listen to this, and I pray you receive this morning. It blew me away when he showed me this. He did what? He joyfully endured the cross. Get a hold of the truth of that. Jesus joyfully endured the cross. Then we're told, and scorning its shame, he, Jesus, sat down at the right hand of his Father and our Father. And then, as a father would, he says to you today as a son, would you please consider what my son did for you? Who faced such horrible opposition from sinful men so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. I wonder how many brave hearts are in this room this morning. How many brave hearts are in this room this morning? Our Father knows. We need to be men who have brave, brave hearts. And maybe, just maybe, this morning, one of the sin that so easily entangles you, maybe you are a man that lacks faith. Let's look for some examples from Scripture. Let's go over to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. We're going to go to chapter 9. We're going to look at several passages, and I pray, Lord, that you would impress upon our hearts what we're to learn from these passages. How many of you today by faith believe that when you pick this up, you're picking up the living and enduring Word of God? Amen. How many of you believe that Jesus, the Word, the Logos, came, born into this world just like you came and were born into this world? Gentlemen, I've said this before and I'm going to repeat it again from the mouth of my 4-year-old son when he was 4. Caught dad early in the morning having my time with the Lord. Looked at an old worn out Bible. I thought about bringing it this morning. I didn't because I don't want to ever come across as prideful. But I tell you who I'm going to boast in, Jesus. The minute he saved me, he gave me a hunger for his word and it's never stopped. He gets all the glory for that. But Jack sat on his dad's lap in his Superman underwear at age 4 and said, "Daddy, what are you doing?" And the Holy Spirit said, "Don't answer, ask." So I said, "Jack, tell me, what am I doing?" He looks at the old worn-out Bible, looks at my journaling, says, "That's easy, Daddy. You're listening to Jesus. I love you." Kisses me on the cheek, runs upstairs, and Dad falls apart. And then all of a sudden I thought about, well, this is exactly what I've read before. That was intended. How many times you have read the Word of God? I'll ask you this question. Are you listening? Are you listening? Jimmy Covey says, "Do you love the Word of the Lord? But do you love the Lord of the Word?" Love both. This is Jesus. And so that changed my life. When I spend time with Jesus and I pick this up, I say, "Jesus, I'm ready to listen to you. Don't be just doers of the word. Don't be hearers of the word. Be doers of the word." Jesus says this, guys. How many of you want to be known as wise men? I do. Where do you get wisdom from? Amen. Guess this. You believe his promises? Last time I checked, if any of you lacks wisdom, you can ask for it. He'll give it to you generously and abundantly. Watch this, without finding fault. Come on now. Can I get somebody to say amen to a little bit of this morning? It makes me sick sometimes when I hold his word out and think, "Did you just hear what he just said through this donkey?" I'll say it again. Did you just hear what he said through this donkey? You can ask for wisdom. He'll give it to you generously and abundantly. And watch the end of this, without finding fault. Who do you think you are today in Christ? I hope and pray you understand where you are. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've been born again, let me tell you what Papa sees. Holy and righteous. Set apart. Get this. Royal. Set apart to do good works in advance. Come on, guys. Is anybody else excited about being able to say, "I'm a child of the High King of Heaven"? Yeah. Pastor Paris from Piedmont, Alabama, he's reminded us time and time again, let's get this down in our hearts. I am what the great I am says I am, and I can do what the great I am says I can do. Do you believe it? Amen. Let's honor Pastor Paris this morning by saying amen. Amen. He closes every one of his services with, "I am what the great I am says I am. I can do what the great I am says I can do." By faith. Okay. That was a Holy Spirit sideline. Mark 9, 14 through 24. It's always good if we follow the Holy Spirit. 9, 14 through 24. Now, also when Jack, my son, spoke to me, and by the way, too, I forgot that, Jesus goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Who's with him? Come on, speak up. Peter, James, John. They're with him. Who shows up? Moses and Elijah. What? No, Moses and Elijah are there with Christ. Moses, he died. Bones were buried. Elijah, not so much. Right? But there they are. And then you hear a voice from heaven. Who's the voice? Who? The Father. Who's on the mount? The Son. What's God say? "This is my Son whom I love." Listen to this. Next three words. Listen to him. Woo! Pretty simple instruction from the Father. Living and enduring Word of God. Listen to him. So this is what I like to do. I love doing this. Verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw you, Jesus. See, I like to not only listen to Jesus, I like to tell Jesus' word right back to him. Okay, Holy Spirit, pause. Okay, I get to do it now. Now I know why the Lord gave me this. For some reason in orthopedics, we use a lot of acronyms. It's the craziest thing. AMK knee, anatomical modular knee. LCS, low contact stress. AML, hip system, anatomical medullary locking. Here's an acronym. Holy Spirit given acronym. I want you to write this down. Take notes of this. It's a simple word, claim. Now again, Clemens and I have experienced things in the last decade that we just praise the Lord for. Lord woke me up with the word claim. And then he said the following, Christ living always in me. Can you claim it? Come on, guys. It's only 9:30 in the morning. Are you awake or not awake? How many of you can claim it? Christ living always in me. Claim it. If that's true, let's continue to think about this. As soon as the people saw you, Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet you. And then you, Jesus, said, what are you arguing with them about? A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Listen to this. You said, Jesus, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him, and when the Spirit saw you, Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And then you, Jesus, asked the boy's father, how long has he been like that or this? Father answered, from childhood, he answered. It's often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. How does Jesus respond? This is somewhat comical. Jesus, the one who spoke creation into existence. Like, if you can, if I could be so bold, if I can, the great I am, if I can, everything is what? Possible for one who? All right, personal confession. Raised in a Christian home, born again, believing parents, attended a local church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. And Sunday was a Sabbath and I could not play sports outside. I could not do anything because my father believed that that was a holy day and that we were to do nothing on that Sabbath day. Oh, I went to church and I went to Sunday school and I went to youth group outings and I knew God's word and I believed. I believed in creation. I believed in things like Sodom and Gomorrah. I believed in the flood. I believed in the parting of the Red Sea. I knew all of that as a child growing up in a Christian home. And I believed in the birth of Jesus. I believed in his life. I believed in his miracles. I believed in his death. I believed in his resurrection. And I believed he was coming again. And I was dead in my sins and transgressions for 34 years. Now, some of you right now are going, what? Let me tell you what God's word says. So you believe in God. I'll be even this bold. God's saying to somebody here today, so you believe in me? So what? So do the demons. Yet they shudder. I tell you what, by faith we believe there are men here this morning that believe you're okay because you believe. Let me tell you what, had not God in his mercy changed my heart of stone to a heart of flesh and enabled me to understand that the consequences of my sin in my life leading up to that very point in time, had I taken my life that morning when I was prepared to commit suicide because I was so miserable with the man that I had become, if I would have taken that step, I would have spent an eternity separated from Christ, even though I believed. I walked into Pastor Gary's house of worship to speak this message, and he was marveling at the original language that doesn't say, whoever believes in me will not perish. It says, whoever puts their faith in me. Amen. Not, again, guys, this is not in this notes. But I'm pleading with some men here this morning. Your whole life, you think you're okay because you just believe. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of that which we do not see. It changed everything for me when, by the power of the Holy Spirit and through His living and enduring Word and understanding the original languages, when Rod Meyer put my faith in Christ and Christ alone to forgive me of my sins, guess what he did? He forgave me of my sins. We'll maybe close with some more about this. I want to challenge you with this, though. Faith, putting your faith in, trusting yourself to Christ, entrusting yourself to. So you believe in one God, good, so do the demons, yet they shudder. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Let's also back up a little bit. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 40. You're familiar with this. This is a text about Jesus calming the storm. That day when evening came, Jesus, you said to your disciples, let's go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took you along, Jesus, just as you were in the boat. There were also other boats with you. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus, you were in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke you, Jesus, and said to you, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? You, Jesus, got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet! Be still! When the wind died down and it was completely calm, Jesus, you said to your disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no? How many of you by faith believe that there was a furious squall? The waves were massive. The men in that boat were fearful that they were going to drown. How many of you believe that was true? And how many do you believe that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who spoke creation into existence simply said, Be quiet, be still. Yeah, I remember Kondo Simfukwe. Please mention this to Kondo when you see him. I remember Kondo helping us to understand, could you imagine Lake Michigan? And it's a northerner. The winds are coming from the north and the waves are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There's momentum across that water. But Jesus spoke, and the wave stopped. It's calm. The power of His spoken word spoke creation into existence. In this instant, be still, be calm. It was calmed. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Real quickly, verse 27. Jesus, you went on from there. Two blind men followed you, calling out, Have mercy on us, son of David. When you had gone indoors, Jesus, the blind men came to you, and you asked them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? Will you put your faith in me? That I'm able to give you sight? And how did they respond? Yes, Lord. Yes, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, the great I am. Yes, I'll put my faith in you that you can heal me. Then, Jesus, you touched their eyes and listened to what he said. According to your... Come on, guys. According to your... Let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Somebody here today, Jesus is asking you, what do you want me to do for you? I don't know what it is. But some of you here today, Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? Very personal between you and him. But last time I checked, he loves for us as his children to talk to his Father because his Father is our Father. And we get to go to our Father through Jesus because he constantly intercedes for us. Maybe you just need to say, Jesus, by faith, I'm willing to put my trust in you. This is what I need you to do for me. I believe he honors faith. Matthew 17, so flip over a few pages or scroll down on your digital device. Matthew 17. This is the same text we read earlier, so I just want to pull something out of this. It's a little bit different the way that the Holy Spirit chose to have this recorded. Jesus does the work, he does the miracle, but in verse 29, he's already said, you unbelieving and strong words, perverse generation. He says, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? And then he goes in the 20th verse and says, Jesus, you replied, because you have so little, come on, because you have so little, truly I tell you, if you have faith, as small as a mustard seed, how many of you actually know how small a mustard seed is? It's really, 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 really small. But you know what can come from that little tiny mustard seed? A big tree. If you have faith as small as a little mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain, throw that mountain into the sea. There's men in this room today. You got mountains in your life. I don't know what they are. I know what mine are. But I know by faith, I can say, I'm getting rid of that mountain. By faith. Remember when Jesus said, be quiet. Be quiet. His word, the power of his word. I think we have to be men who are willing to declare God's word. Go to Matthew chapter 4. It's interesting, these notes were notes that God gave me 11 years ago. He reminded me of them for this message. I remember being an infant baby that had been born again. And I'm in this text. And in this text it says that you, Jesus, were led into the desert by what? Thank you. Now, wait a second. He was led into the desert, Dr. Soto, by the Spirit. And what was he being led in the desert for? To be tempted by the devil. Oh, my goodness, did that catch my attention. I thought, Father, now wait a second. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to be led into the desert because you were going to allow him to be tempted by the enemy? Answer is yes. Let's go through it quickly. Jesus, you were led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus, you were hungry. How many of you believe he was fully man yet fully God? You know what? I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. If I offend anybody, I'm sorry. We don't teach enough about that truth. Fully man yet fully God. Tempted in almost every way. No, tempted in always. Tempted in every way. Yet was without sin. If you're sitting here today and you don't think Jesus understands the issues in your life, come on. Tempted in every way. And the amazing thing is about God's plan, guess what, guys? Jesus understands. Last time I checked, no temptation has seized me except what is common to man. My God is faithful. He'll not let me be tempted beyond what I can bear. And when I am tempted, he, God, will provide a way out for me to stand up under it. Do you believe that by faith? Can you claim that by faith? Christ living always in me. I can claim that. We can claim that. So don't sit here and tell me this morning, you don't understand, Brother Rod. I just get tempted and I can't. Seems to me there's malnourished men in this room. Seems to me that there's men in this room that are so malnourished, you haven't yet learned about what Jesus teaches us from this text. Let's continue on. The tempter came to you, Jesus, and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And then you, Jesus, answered, it is what? How many of you know what it was that was written? Some of you have your hands up. Well, let me tell you what Jesus was doing. It is written. What he's saying is back in Deuteronomy, my Father, our Holy Spirit, inspired the words to be written. Man does not live on bread alone, but on the very Word of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Jesus said, it is written. Jesus spoke that word and truth out loud. It is written. And he quoted what was written. Some of you are going to get this. Amen. Then the devil took you, Lord, to the holy city and had you stand on the highest point of the temple. Listen to the tempter. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Now watch this, for it is written. Let me tell you guys, the enemy, he's clever. Because what the enemy did said, okay, if you're going to quote the word of the Lord, then I'm going to use the word of the Lord. Because he took Jesus right to the Psalms. Because the Psalm says, he'll command his angels concerning you. They'll lift you up in their hands so that you won't strike your foot against a stone. What does Jesus say? It is also written. Like, okay, that's my word. But on top of that, it's read the following. Do not put the Lord your God to test. Strike two. Again, the devil took you, Lord, to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I'll give to you, he said, if you'll just bow down and worship me. And then Jesus said to you, enemy, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the enemy leaves you, Jesus, and angels came and attended you. Not in the notes, but I guarantee you this, men, when the enemy starts telling me about my life before Christ, when he starts telling me about how many times I was unfaithful to my first wife, when he starts telling me about I was a drunk and a womanizer and a gambler and a violent man, if I listen to those lies from him, I will be destroyed by the enemy. I will not be the man that I desire to be when I take the moment to begin to listen to his lies. Amen. And I must do what Jesus has taught me to do. I take his word and I say, no, I've been crucified with Jesus and I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Amen. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I tell the enemy, literally, depart from me, Satan. You have no place in my life. I say to the fallen demonic angels that wage war against us, you have no authority over my life. You have no authority over my marriage. You have no authority over my children. You have no authority over the business that God has entrusted to my hands. I'm a child of the High King of Heaven, and I'm standing strong on the promises of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Do what Jesus did. Why do you think Abba Father had Jesus go into the desert? He set an example for us, men. He set an example for us. Why do you think in Ephesians chapter 6, when we read about what? Spiritual warfare. Let me tell you a couple things I want you to think about. We got about 12 minutes to close up another hour of this message. Now I got your attention. Y'all want to leave at 10 o'clock. For those of you who want to leave at 10, if I'm not done, go. God bless you. For those you want to stay, praise the Lord. It will probably be done in 12 minutes. Pardon me? Thank you. Do you believe? Nick and I didn't talk. Our worship leader and I did not talk about the songs to be sung. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Well, let me tell you what. That scripture says, first of all, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers of the principalities of the heavenly realms. Wage war against our hearts and our minds. Men, spiritual warfare is real. But men, who are you? Sons of God. Last time I checked, he says the same power that I used to raise my son from the dead dwells in you, dwells in us. But a couple things out of that text. Pick up the shield of faith. That was no little tiny inky dinky little shield. Back in those days, it was a shield you were holding that was from here to probably up to here, covered with animal skins, treated in such a way, watch this, that when the arrows from the enemy were shot, that shield, doink. That's Holy Spirit word, doink. No, come on, do you get the imagery of that? And God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, tells us in that text, guess what the enemy's going to do to you and to you and to you? He knows your weaknesses. He knows my weaknesses. And you know what? I love this imagery. I'm going to fire this arrow right toward you, Rod, and it's because I know your weakness, and I go, fire it. Boom! Shield of faith. And you read about, put on the helmet of salvation, put on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, have your feet ready, fitted with the readiness of the gospel. Those are all pretty good defensive weapons to put on. A shield's a really good defensive weapon against the arrows of the enemy. But I tell you what I liked. I loved football, and I played defense, but I liked offense a lot better than defense. Because many more times the offense scored versus the defense. I want to win. You know how I know I can win? Pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and additionally, pray. Pray. Pick up the sword of the Spirit and pray. You want to fight the enemy? Fight the enemy with the Word of the Lord. Malnourished men, sit in this room today, you're so cotton-picking weak, the enemy is having a heyday with you. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm trying to encourage us. If we're going to be men who are following Christ, can I challenge us again this morning? Do you believe by faith this morning, Jesus, fully man, yet fully God, a man of the Word and a man who prayed? Amen? Amen? He was the Word, but He relied on the Word to fight off the enemy. Who do you think you are that you don't have to do that? I am not going to go down not winning every battle that I have put in front of me because I know whose I am. Amen. Last time I checked, you are more than a conqueror if you're here this morning in Christ Jesus. More than a conqueror. Jesus set the example for us. Men, follow that example of Christ. A man of the Word, a man of prayer. He fought off the enemy with the Word of God. How many of you believe this morning, if you've confessed your sins to Christ and you've put your faith in Christ and Christ alone to forgive you of your sins, how many of you know by faith you can say He's removed your sins as far as the east is from the west? And guess what? He remembers them no more. Amen. And you know what the enemy tries to do to me? He causes me to keep thinking about my sin. And I got to tell him, take a hike. Look, I know who He is. God says He's the ruler of the kingdom this air. Yep. I am loved by the High King of Heaven. I'm seated with Christ. Do you get that? You're seated with Christ. Co-heirs with Christ. Last time I checked, He owns the animals of the forest, the cattle on a thousand hills. Guess what you own? The animals in the forest, the cattle on a thousand hills. You're joint heirs with Christ. So Jesus set the example. We're going to close with this. Jesus set the example. Here's what I think some men, if not all of the men in this room, including myself, listen to the words from Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, 7 and 8 says the following. This word blessed, I love the definition that I read from James Montgomery Boyce. He said, blessed is this idea of fully satisfied. Fully satisfied is the one who trusts in what? Trusts in the Lord. Whose confidence is in who? In Him. Watch this. They'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. And it never, 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 never fails to bear fruit. How many of you want to be fruit bearers? I can guarantee you this. It was written by the psalmist, blessed is the one. Fully satisfied is the one, Psalm 1:1, who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way the sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. But watch this. but whose delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And does what? Who meditates on his law day and night. Guess what that man will be like? That man will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Yes. Hallelujah. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I'm not preaching a message of prosperity. Because the last time checked, wisdom is better than silver and gold. And the last time I checked, when Yeshua comes, and he's coming soon, you ain't taking nothing with you when he comes. And you're not going to want anything that you think you have now that you're cherishing. It ain't tiddly squat to what we have waiting for us. Can someone please say an amen? Amen. So we need to repent. If you're sitting here today and you're malnourished, when God inspired Moses to write what he wrote, he told the nation of Israel, these are not just idle words for you. They are your life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am living water. How many of you need to say today, I am going to not ever again be malnourished? Amen. I am ready to start being a man who says, I want to live on the very living and enduring Word of God. Amen. I want to be a man who drinks from the rock, and that rock is Christ. Now, I'm going to go about 2 minutes over because I want you to hear this. Pulled this out of a file that I had. I bet some of you have read The Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson. I have. Every temptation is an attempt by the devil to get us to live our lives, watch this, independently of God. Satan tempts us, just as he did Jesus, by appealing to our most basic and legitimate needs. The question is, are these needs going to be met by the world, the flesh, the devil, or are they going to be met by God, who promises to meet all of our needs in Christ Jesus? So I want to finish with this. I hope that many of you today can just take this in. You're accepted. You're accepted because God's Word says you're His child. You're accepted because God's Word says you've been united with the Lord and you're one in spirit with Him. You're accepted because you've been bought with a price and you belong to God the Father. You're accepted and you have, watch this, direct access to God the Father through Christ Jesus your Lord, who constantly intercedes for you. Are you talking to Him? You're accepted because you've been redeemed and forgiven of most of all your sins. Thank you. All your sins. And as Pastor Paris often says, the last time I checked in the original languages, all means all. How about this? You're secure. I love how the Apostle Paul in chapter 7 tells us, man, the very things I want to do, I don't do. And he basically says, man, who is going to rescue this man? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. And then he's inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the following. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you accept that this morning and say hallelujah? Hallelujah. There is no condemnation for those of you who have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know what? I say this all the time because I have a friend, Matt Hoskins. You ask Matt, hey, Matt, how you doing today? He goes, everything's 8:28. For I know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed into the likeness of His Son. Here's a message for you. In all things, God works for your good. Papa's got a plan. I didn't say Papa has a band. I said Papa has a plan. And the plan is this. I'm going to conform you more into the image of my Son Christ. Isaiah 64:8 says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We're all the works of your hands. There's times I say, Papa, I do not like this molding process. And then he reminds me, son, you're in the orthopedic industry and you know what it means to be in WIP. Work in progress. Guess what, men? We're all work in progress this morning. Get this, you can't be separated from the love of God. You can be confident that God will complete the work that He started in you. He's going to complete that work. You can be secure knowing you're a citizen of heaven. You can be secure knowing that he has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and of a sound mind. How many of you today think you're insignificant? Don't raise a hand to that one. Well, let me tell you what, quit listening to the enemy. Because we are significant. We're salt and we're light of the earth. You've been chosen to bear fruit. We are personal witnesses of Christ. We are God's temple. In the Holy Spirit-led discussion this morning, guess what? We're also ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. Get this, you are a co-worker with Christ. How exciting is that? We're co-workers with Christ. When Jack and when George in the Kairos ministry goes into the prison, God is co-working with you. How cool is that? Don't listen to the cotton-picking lie of the enemy, because you know what? I'm going to answer this question, and if I don't get this question answered properly, we're staying for another 30 minutes. How many of you are in full-time ministry? Get your cotton-picking hands up, every one of you. I am so sick and tired of, I'm sorry, here I go, the church making us feel like we're somehow less than because I don't have a pastoral title. I am a child of God who, according to his word, I have a ministry of reconciliation and I have a ministry opportunity to co-labor with Christ. I'm an ambassador for the High King of Heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Every one of you today, if you're born again and you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you are in full-time ministry. Quit listening to cotton-picking lie of the enemy. He will use this thing called religion and he will goof us all up. Thank you. He will use this thing called religion and goof us all up. A couple more things and I promise I'll pray. I love this. He says it's at my never again list. My never again list. I'm just going to pick a few. Never again will I confess I can't. For I can do all things in Christ Jesus my Lord. Never again will I confess a lack for anything, for God shall supply all of my needs. Never again will I confess doubt or lack of faith. God hath given to every man the measure of faith. Cry out and say just like the centurion did, oh Lord, give me more faith. There was never anybody like the centurion that he knew all the Lord had to do was speak. Never again will I confess I lack wisdom. What did we say earlier? If we ask for wisdom, he'll give it to us generously and abundantly without finding fault. Never again will I confess worries and frustrations, for I'm casting all of my cares upon him who cares for me. I could go on and on and on, but what I plead with you men today, if you're sitting here today and you think you're okay because you just believe, I beg of you, if you have not put your faith and trust in Christ alone, because listen to this, for all of us have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. There is no one who is righteous, no, not one. When God the Father looked down on this earth, there was no one that was righteous, but there was one coming that was holy and righteous and set apart. God's word says if you believe by faith that Jesus is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and you believe by faith he was taken to Mount Calvary, he was whipped and flogged and beaten, he was not even recognizable as a man. Isaiah 53 spoke of the one who was going to be the suffering servant. The day I was saved, a five-year-old daughter, 8 hours before, looked at her daddy and said, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned into his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all, Daddy. It's my first verse. 8 hours later, he saves me because he cut me to the heart from that word. Man, if you're here today and you think you're okay just because you believe, if you have not recognized who you are apart from Christ, God's word says you're dead in your sins and transgressions. Let me tell you, you cannot save yourself. If I went down to McCatt and Sadler Funeral Home today and there was a dear friend of mine laying in a casket, as much as I loved him, if I said, please get up, please live today. He can't do anything. But if right now maybe God is stirring some man's heart in this room and he's telling you, today's the day of your salvation. Come to me and put your faith in me today. I know all of your sins. I know everything that you've done in your life up to this very moment. Would you take the time to just recognize me this morning and say, Jesus, I need you today. Amen. I cannot leave this meeting without asking you. I'm pleading with you. The enemy had me deceived for 34 years. I believed. I was dead in my transgressions and sin. God's word says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. We must recognize our desperate need to be saved from the consequences of sin. And the consequences of sin is death, and it's a separation. You'll never have an opportunity. So I'm not going to ask for an acknowledgement of you raising your hand, but I would ask this. If you want to hang around, there's guys here that would love to talk with you and take you to the one that we put our faith and trust in. The last challenge is this. If you came into this room malnourished, I hope you got a little bit of a taste of what you can start giving yourself on a daily basis. Because I guarantee you, and I know my brother Don Clemens and Ben and David would share in this, be men of the word, be men of prayer, have other men in your life. We'll turn this world upside down. Father God, thank you.